Well, it doesn't get any better than this. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Carol Spinney stars in his own, well, a film about you. It's I Am Big Bird, which premieres at the Gene Siskel Film Center. A big Friday for every theater in the country, as far as I'm concerned, that is debuting I Am Big Bird. And Mr. Spinney, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you very much. Nice to be here.
So you don't sound like a man of 81 years old, but then again, I think, well, how should you sound?
Well, I don't know. I don't always feel as though I'm that old. I keep thinking, gee, where did all the years fly by?
Time does fly.
I'm having a wonderful life. I'm very much in love. And we live our life that way, in love every day. Oh boy, another day with my Debbie, or she thinks that same about me. It's obviously mutual.
Well, it's very nice. And along with playing Big Bird all these years, you've played Oscar the Grouch and just made countless kids, you know, generations of kids happy. I mean, you can go to sleep every night with a smile on your face.
Yeah. Oscar, you're speaking for me? No, I'm speaking for me.
I would think, Carol, the pleasure of all of this would be you have the sweetness of Big Bird and the badness of Oscar all in one in your head. You can play both sides all day long.
Yeah, I think that's one of the. I've often thought what a gift Jim Henson gave me when he hired me and created that I play two characters that are totally opposite each other, yet they do have a similar thing. I'm not really great at working with other puppeteers. If they're going to start into a dance, a song, they always go side to side and beat and all that. I'm always bumping into them because I just cannot synchronize with other people. But fortunately, Oscar is a solo person, grouchy, living by himself. And Big Bird lives by himself, too. So they are even occasionally seen together by use of me recording one of the voices and another puppeteer moving, whichever one doesn't say as much in the script as the other.
There's an opportunity that, and I guess it's part of that same gift you mentioned, that really is told very well in a story that was published in Entertainment Weekly just about a week ago. And if you don't mind retelling the story about when Big Bird got a request of a call from a family with a little boy that was dying of cancer.
Oh, yeah.
This is many years ago, but I think it encompasses what you do.
Well, it is. It was a very sad letter I got. Let me just see. I got this letter from a man who said he had a little boy named Joey who was 5 years old and that he was aware that he was dying. He had very bad cancer, and he was in hospital. So he said, could I call him? Because he hadn't smiled in 5 months. He was so unhappy and so ill. So the only thing that cheered him up at all would be when he'd see Big Bird come on the screen when they put on Sesame Street. So could I phone him and talk to him? So I immediately called the number. It was at the hospital, and they connected him to a phone that he could talk to him. And so he had the phone in his hand. I said, hello, Joey, this is me, Big Bird. He says, is that really you, Big Bird? And I said, yes, it is. And so I told him about playing that morning with Snuffy, and then I put Oscar on the phone, who was sweet as could be. Well, as a sick kid, you know, I had to.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, so anyway, so I had a nice chat with him, and we talked. You can't say things like get well soon or all that, because it isn't going to work. And it was time to end the call. So I said, well, it's nice talking to you, Joey, and you're a good fellow. So so I got a letter the next week, and his father wrote and said that he was real pleased that I had called him, and that he had also, they were there, mother and father was sitting with the boy because they'd told him that day, They both better come in because they may not see him again. He was failing badly.
Sure.
So he said, after I hung up, I said goodbye to him and hung up. He hung up his phone and he looked at his mother and father and said, Big Bird called me. He's my friend. And then he smiled, a big smile, and died.
It's amazing. It's an amazing story. It breaks your heart. But to give that little boy that smile and that pleasure and that sense of meaning in the last few minutes of his life, it's pretty incredible stuff, Carol.
Yeah, that's what the father said. He said that we cried our eyes out, but to think that the last thing he did before he died was to smile, and we hadn't seen that smile in months and months. And they felt that was a gift, and I thought that was a gift that I could do anything at all like that, because one just wishes you could just cure the poor little fellow. But at least a smile is better than just misery.
Now, 36 years old, 45 years of Sesame Street. What were you doing when you got the gig?
Well, I was 35 actually, and I was working on Bozo's Big Top, which was seen both in New York City and Boston.
Yeah, and I had heard that because, you know, Bozo, of course, the home office of Bozo is Chicago. And
yeah,
it was a very popular
show in Chicago. And I understand that Mr. Ringmaster was very much part of the show.
So you were a
character in Boston.
Sure, and you were very comfortable at the age of 35 and doing what you were doing. But do you have any idea that Big Bird and Oscar and Sesame Street would last anywhere near this long?
No, not at all. I'm sure I would have been. Our show, a version of Bozo, only had another year to go because it was, the audience was fading away, and we went from having 155 kids every day to none, which took away all the cheering and
sure.
fun of a circus, and so its days were numbered. But people have often asked, did you realize you'd be going for 46 years? We're now finishing our 46th year taping. It won't come on until fall. And I said, well, no, I don't think anybody could expect such longevity for a television show. Very few have lasted longer than that. I know Meet the Press has been on for about 58 years or so.
Yeah, but Sesame Street's much funnier than Meet the Press.
I'm sorry?
Sesame Street is much funnier than Meet the Press most weeks.
Yeah, one of the great things about when they formed Sesame Street was they were hoping to prove Joan Ganz Cooney's theory that TV could be used to teach little children more than just what they see, the usual lousy stuff. Anyway, but then they also realized as they're putting the show together that it should be as funny as it is realistic.
Sure.
Educational.
Sure.
And I think that's one of the secrets of its longevity. And also the idea that the show would constantly correct itself and see that it's working for the audience. And if they test all the shows or elements in the show on real children at places all across America. My wife, Deb, worked for that group, and they would put the show on and show it to children, and they noted when the kids weren't interested. For instance, the first year we had a lot of wild, real animals on the show from zoos.
Yep.
I remember holding little baby tigers and things like that. But they didn't test very well. The kids were kind of bored when they came on. They liked the puppets and things better.
Isn't that fascinating? And generation to generation, there's a consistency with Sesame Street that cuts through no matter what people are into or they're not into, however kids have changed. And, I couldn't be more excited for you. It's I Am Big Bird, the movie. IamBigBird.com is the website. And if Big Bird were on the Steve Cochran show, what would he say?
I'd say, nice being here, Steve.
You're a good man, Carol. Enjoy your day.
Thanks a lot, Steve.